Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Yeah. So our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, we're following the state of the Manchester Shiva Zechorin Lebrocha, is Lizchus Rapur of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Zech Shor Chayla Yisrael. So we started already, started the Machzor a couple of weeks ago, and we're up to the Lavin, numbers 10 and 11. There are 17 Lavin, we said, and I think there are 14 essence that the Chofetz Chaim brings down that one can be over in various situations by speaking Lashon Hara. And these are Lavin number 10 and 11 today. So the first one is that the Torah says that, except in the case of Momonos, where you can be Mechayev B'Shvua, an Eid Echod doesn't have their Momonos. A person who knows Eidus about somebody who's done something wrong and turns up in a Beis Din, one man on his own, and he says that Ploini was Mechal HaShabbos, or Ploini was seen eating a Big Mac in McDonald's, or Ploini was Mazik Yenem, whatever it is. Yeah, Mazik might be a Shalom woman, I don't know. But in most cases, the Pasuk says, Lo Yokum Eid Echot Be'ish L'Cholovin no L'Chol Chatos. An Eid Echot is not Ne'emon, an Eid Echot does not achieve anything, and an Eid Echot we don't believe. If we don't believe an Eid Echot, then if an Eid Echot comes along speaking Lashon Hara about somebody else, yeah, he's not believed, he has no purpose, it's not exactly, he can't achieve anything in Halacha, he can't achieve a punishment, he can't achieve anything in Halacha, and therefore, he's over this love of Lo Yokum Eid Echot Be'ish B'Cholov and L'Chol Natos in a situation where you've got one person speaking Lashon Hara about somebody else, which he can achieve nothing in Halacha, he can achieve no positive result. And therefore, he's over Lo Yokum Eid Echot Be'ish L'Cholovin. That's love number 10. Love number 11 is as follows. The Chofetz Chaim says that a lot of people are going to turn up Lachamei V'Eshem in heaven, and there's going to be a whole list of, not everybody, I know you're not part of this, but some of the other people in the room, yeah, myself included, will end up Lachamei V'Eshem in front of the Rabbeinu Shloim, the Yoim HaGodol V'Hanoiro. And the Rebbeinu will have a list of the Lashon Haras that they've spoken throughout their lives in various situations. And the Chofetz Chaim says their terrors is going to be, it was the circumstances or the environment in which I found myself, in which you put me, which caused me to speak Lashon Hara. The seat that I was allocated in my shul was amongst people who talk after davening, and you know that's where I sat, and that's where the table that I got at the chasna, the group of people that I mixed with, whatever it was, you'll always be blaming other people for that situation. So it's always society who made him do it. So they were speaking and I happened to overhear, etc. The Chofetz Chaim says that a person creates his own society. A person has to choose who he mixes with. A person has to... I think I had somebody at one of the chasnas that I made where somebody came up to me and said, I can't sit at that table because they speak Lashon Hara there. The whole group of people. I mean, he was speaking Lashon Hara about them, saying that they speak Lashon Hara at the table, therefore it's an unsuitable table for me to sit at. Yeah? He should have found some other way of saying that he can't sit at that table. Oh, but the point is, says the Chofetz Chaim, you make your own environment. You can't blame the environment. If it's not a suitable environment for you to live in, you choose the place where you live, you choose the shul where you live, you choose the people that you choose as your friends. Yeah, you can't choose your relatives, but you can choose how closely you mix with them and how much time you spend with them. And therefore, Dr. Chofetz Chaim, choose your environment, don't blame the environment. Yeah. He's ready. Another half a minute. Okay. Thank you. to the Torahway Northwest London, Tuesday, 20th of January, October, Sutta, Golas and Ulas Mitzrayim, how it affects us today. This week's Torah is sponsored by family, Adel of Reitz, Nukhava Mitzvah, of Shlema, Adel of Mary Yod, and Shabbat. We will take the Torah, good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to first of all thank the organizers for giving me the chance to be able to share some thoughts with you this morning. Anyway, they all should be and only know good things.
Amen.
So this is Parshat Yisrei, and the Aseret HaDibros to start off. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiti me'aretz Mitzrayim. Interesting that we, those who speak, I guess the King's English, right? We call it the Ten Commandments, but the first one is not such a commandment. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's a statement of fact. The Kodesh Baruch was saying, "I am Hashem, your God." What exactly is the first of the mitzvah? The Ramban says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha" is the mitzvah of Emuna. Emuna, it is very often mistranslated as belief. Belief has very Christian connotations to it. It means it's something that we do just because that's the way that it is, whether we have any knowledge of it or if we don't have any knowledge of it. Emuna is totally different. Emuna is knowledge. We know. The Ramban is telling us, the HaKadosh Baruch was saying, you need to know that Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the pasuk finishes off, Asher Yitzchichu Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Okay, I took you out of Egypt. That sentence could have stopped there, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I took you out of Egypt. It could have said, I created heaven and earth. I was the God to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I took you out of Egypt. The Ramban explains that the mitzvah of Emunah is divided into 13 different categories, known as the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his dominion over this creation from the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way through Kriyas Yamsuf, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed that the world is his, that is where we know the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And the Rambam also goes through the Yud Gimel Ikrim and he shows us through Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the entire creation. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Asher Hoceiticha me'aretz Mitzrayim. You want to define what that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is? I am that God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Everything you saw when I took you out of Mitzrayim, I am Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. So really, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha defines our relationship. It tells us that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the entire event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, define our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to know, not need to believe, not need to guess. We need to know, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiticha me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I control creation. There is nothing that exists, nothing that it happens without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from every nekudah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're able to learn something about our Avodas Hashem. I just wanted to shtel on maybe one point that I hope will be a source of chizuk, because I know that it gives me chizuk. Because I know that I am a person that constantly needs chizuk. The list of chizuk of the great Torah, me, chief and chizuk, there's a list of Torah I always put as me. You know, my name. I always need chizuk. In Parshas Bo, in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Boil Paro, go to Paro. Yichbadati es livo bet lev avodom, because I harden his heart and the heart of all of his servants. Rashi says, Boyel Paro, you should go to Paro. Why? The Hisrbo, you have to warn him that the Makkas are coming, that these next few Makkas are coming. There's an obvious question. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, I'm hardening his heart. He's not going to listen to you. Not only am I hardening his heart, I'm hardening the heart of his servants as well. Everybody's going to be hardened. But go there and warn him, says Rashi. What's the purpose of this Hasro? What was the purpose of this warning if he wasn't going to listen to it anyway? The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvim, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel has a little bit of an arichas there, speaking about people who he shares the idea that it is possible that a person could commit such a grave avera, such a grave sin, that they lose their ability to do tshuva. And in that list, the Rambam lists this case of Paro. Paro, because he sinned against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, because of the sins that he did to Klal Yisrael, the way that he treated Klal Yisrael, he lost his right and ability to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally took it away from him. He had no hope. So it just strengthens the question more. He had no hope. What was the purpose of this? So it's interesting. The Rambam learns a little bit differently than the Rashi. And Rambam says, V'ulam babur zehem atichol kedei loidia levoi oilom, shebizman shemoinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu atshuva lachoyte eino yochol oshu. Says the Rambam that this exactly was the reason. I want you to go there and show that he's still not going to do tshuva. This was the point. Go, because people in the future need to know that there are such transgressions that are so severe, Kadosh Baruch Hu can take the ability to do tshuva away. But Rashi L'chir is not learning like that, because Rashi doesn't give this other reason. Rashi thinks the history book. So from Rashi, you would have seen that there was some effect that this hasra, that this warning could have. Go there, even though I hardened his heart, give him a warning anyway. That's what we have to understand. So I want to share with you the Mahalach of the Nesiva Shalom in this, which is really, really brilliant, and this is where I get the chizuk from. The Nesiva Shalom says that we are in the physical world, we're created with natural ability. Everybody has a little bit. Their abilities vary, some slightly, some bit more. Everybody has their talents. But we know that in the physical world, there are things that we can do, right? A 25-pound dumbbell, we can pick up. 50 pounds, maybe we can pick up. 80 pounds, we call somebody else. Right? We know we have our physical ability, things that we can do. But says in the Nesiva Shalom that you need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with supernatural ability, extraordinary abilities, that is a tumun, he said, that is buried deep within us, that in a event of a tremendous sakana, or in the event of desperation, we can somehow muster up, we can go find those places and we can do incredible things. I know when I was a kid, I remember hearing a story, but you know, this story falls into that category, like Rabbi Wein Schlitter, she should live and be well, says that all of his stories are true. Some of them haven't happened yet. So it could be that this goes into that story, but I think the story is true. I remember hearing a story when I was a little kid that there was once this elderly woman. So for me, she probably was about, you know, 4'6", very, very slight, probably had a little bit of a handbag, right? And she was in her car and she was driving her husband and they got out to go shopping and the car fell back, ran over his leg, and he was bleeding out. And she went to the back of the car and she was able to pick up the car and move it. So I don't know if that story happened, but the idea is this for true, that there are times when we are forced to dig deep. There are things that we can accomplish that we, in a million years, we didn't think that we were capable of. Years ago, I was the Rav in Phoenix, Arizona, and I decided that I needed to do a little bit of exercise. Shabbos Shalom was staying with me a little bit longer than I would have liked. And I figured that it was time to exercise. So it's a big thing in Phoenix, Arizona to cycle. So I think, you know what, maybe I'll get a bike, you know, and I'll cycle. So I wasn't going to make the investment in a bicycle because when I saw actually how much bicycles cost, it's ridiculous. So I borrowed a bicycle from a friend, but it wasn't really a bicycle. It was a buggy bike, right? It had a bell on it. They might have had some streamers coming outside of the handles. It had one of the book things in the back. Heavy, heavy bike. But I was figuring I would give my try to see if I could do it. So I was riding, and I would go every day for a little bit, and it had a little speedometer. Now, the speedometer is a hush of a thing because it gives you encouragement. You see how fast you're going, especially. So on the flats, as they call it, so I was like going, 7, 8, 10 miles an hour. And I thought that I was moving along, and this was going on for a couple of weeks. And one day when I was riding, I saw one of my congregants. So this guy, Baruch Hashem, today he's Baal Tshuva. He has kids that are sitting and learning in Koyel. At the time, not so much. but he was dressed in his, he looked like a cyclist. I did not, just to put that right, I did not. So he was dressed like a cyclist. He said, Rabbi, is that you? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, how are you? He said, let's ride together. I said, ride together? And I'm thinking, I'm 10 miles an hour. He's 50, you know, guy. No, let's ride together. It'll be okay. Anyway, we're going for a little bit, and I'm pushing myself. And I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, I remember seeing that speedometer, not even downhill, 16 miles an hour. If you would have asked me that morning if I would be able to ever hit anything over 10 miles an hour, and I'm serious, I mean, it happens to me a funny story, but it's a true story. In a million years, because at 10 miles an hour, I'm like, my heart is beating out of my chest. I have no breath anymore because I couldn't push myself. And somehow, it didn't last very long. After a while, I said to him, I said, you know, you go up ahead. I'll meet you over there. We'll go for a coffee. We'll schmooze a little bit afterwards. But I couldn't do it. But I hit 16 miles. I remember coming back, and I learned such a mussar from that, saying that the truth is that my normal ability is probably I was a 10-mile-an-hour bike. But there is a moment when you need to dig deep. I didn't want to embarrass myself. I really had to dig deep. I was able to hit 16 miles an hour. That's this nikudah. The nikudah is that in the physical world, I wasn't the old lady lifting the car, and it might sound very trivial, but to me it was a mussar haskel, that you are capable of things that you have no idea that you're capable of. Inside of you. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us regular, natural kaychas, and those kaychas we're familiar with. But b'shas hatzchak, when we need to dig deep, you can dig deep. It says in the Nesiyos Shalom that this idea doesn't only exist in the physical world, it exists in ruchnius as well. Ruchnius is not an easy thing. It's a struggle. There's part of ruchnius that we enjoy. There's part of ruchnius that gives us achiyus. But there is that nekudas habachira that's difficult for us. Says in the Nesiyos Shalom that there are normal abilities that we have. We're able to accomplish in ruchnius and things that we're able to handle on a regular basis, but there are things that are difficult for us, and there are times of desperation that requires desperate times, like the person who's sitting at the chasana table, right, and he doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara, he should get up and he should move. It's not so easy to get up to move without showing people that I'm getting up to move, right? That was in the saying. You should have gotten up, and you didn't have to show everybody that you can. Let him move. Okay, you don't sit by somebody else's chair. In America anyway, today, I got to tell you, my chasana is devolved. You don't have to do seating tables anymore. They have numbers. Cousins, friends, table one. There could be six, table one. Friends of the family, the cousins family, table six. There could be three, table six. You find your own place, and you won't be able to speak Lashon Hara. I'm just saying, it's an idea. You might run into worse to the college side as well. It's a lot of headache off of the family that you don't have to do feeding room, let me tell you. So, but the point is, that person should have got his nisayin at that point was not to show everybody that he just got interested in speaking Lashon Hara. He should have gotten up, but he should move to a different table. Sit down next to somebody else. You could have done it quietly. That requires extraordinary kaisos, because it's nice to show people that you're a little bit of a tzaddik. And ruchnius as well. There are regular kaisos that we have, and there are times that there are extraordinary kaisos that we need to tap into. We possess those extraordinary kaisos. Says in the Tshuva Shalom, and that works with tshuva. Tshuva is a very difficult thing. It's a very, very difficult thing because tshuva is forever. Says the Rambam, one of the tznoim in doing a proper tshuva is a kabbalah that you're never going to do it again. Never is a long time. Bezat Hashem, it should be for all of us a very, very long time, right? But never do it again. How does a person never do it again? It requires extraordinary kaisos. And there are certain things that are easy to do tshuva from. Person walks into a room, forgets, yeah, just whatever, he flips on the light, okay, or he rubs up against it. So unfortunately, we weren't zoicha to the same level of protection as the Hamarish of Pinchas Ben Yoyer, who didn't eat Meisers, food that he wasn't so sure that the tumors of Meisers were removed. Okay, so we turn on the light. That, a tshuva, I think we can handle that tshuva. I'm not going to turn on, I'm going to be a little bit more careful when I walk into a room, I'm not going to rub up against the wall. I'm going to be able to do this, but there are things that are very difficult. Not talking with your tefillin on, the tefillah of the tail. Like not talking from the beginning of davening to the end of davening. There are things that, but those are much more difficult. Not speaking Lashon Hara, they're much more difficult. So taking, you know, eating the entire pie right away, and looking and say, the entire eternity, I'm never going to do this again, very difficult. But today I can do it. I can muster up the kaisas today. Now I can muster up the kaisas. When I was a little boy, I used to go to my grandparents, Aleihem HaShalom, Chicago, Illinois, and there is a very famous museum in
Chicago, a Museum of Science and Industry. If you're ever in Chicago, it's a very big place. And I remember as a little kid, this was back in the 70s, they had an old-fashioned bike, stationary bicycle, that was connected to a generator, and it had like a thing of light. You know, and the faster that you pedaled, the more lights you could turn on. So get on the bike, and even as a 5, 7, 6, 7 year old, right, I was getting on the bike, and so you could do a little bit, you know, you get a little bit of the lights going, and you can maintain that. But to hit it all the way at the top, right, you could do it, but you hit it for a second. You hit it for a second, and all the lights come down, because it's difficult to maintain that level of effort for a very long period of time. But we should know that we have, because you can hit it. So if you did it once, it means you can do it again also. Certain things in tshuva are very difficult. Says the Siva Shalom that just like in the physical, just like in the physical world, and just like in the ruchnistic world, in the world of tshuva, also we have normal kaisas that's easy for us. But on top of that, we have kaisas that are tumim. We have kaisas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden deep inside of us that we can tap into when we need to. And we can accomplish incredible things. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paro. Paro, because Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shpatzi as Levoy, I hardened his heart." It's very difficult for him to do tshuva. Under the normal circumstance, he's not going to be able to do tshuva. Not going to be able to do tshuva. But you need to go tell him, not like the Rambam. Rashi is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was going over to Paro and telling him, "You can do tshuva. If you put your mind to it, you can do tshuva at this point. Even though it seems impossible now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoydo v'atzmoy says, Echbadeti es libo, I hardened his heart. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you can change. You can change. You have the ability to change. And we find this. We find this a very, very famous story with Reb Meir's Rebbe, Elisha ben Abuya, who was one of the four Shiyodu Lepardit. And he came out as a Koker. He saw what he thought were spirits. And he went off to Derech. Still learning Torah. Still teaching Torah. Famous story with Reb Meir, who was walking with him on Shabbos, and Acher was sitting on a horse. And Acher said to him, "This is from Shabbos, we have to stop." Reb Meir tried to master him to tshuva. So he asked him, What happened? Tshuva! You're teaching Torah, you appreciate it. Says, because when I was there, I heard a baskol that came out and said, "Shuvu bonim shoyvavim, return all you wayward sons, chutz mi Acher, except for Acher." This says, Rebbeinu Shalom is already telling me, there's no way for me to do tshuva, why should I even bother? Says Nesiva Shalom, that this is exactly what that baskol was telling him. It is true, Acher, you don't possess the ability, according to normal, natural koichas that a person has, you're not going to be able to do tshuva. Like, just like the baskol said, shuvu bonim shoyvim chutz me'acher. But you, Acher, need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you koichas that are extraordinary koichas. You possess deep within you supernatural koichas that you can do it anyway. You can tap into that. His nesoyin was that you need to tap into those koichas. And he didn't tap into those koyches. Paro should have tapped into those koyches, and he didn't tap into those koyches. Paro was koyfer lo yadati es Hashem. Paro was koyfer in everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, "The Rebbeinu Shalom, the Kavron Mitzvah Yaakov says it's time to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim." He says, "Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know Hashem." Chazal say that Hashem, the Shem Avaya, is meyer on the physical world. He was saying that I'm koyfer even in the basic natural abilities that I have. I don't believe any of it. Forget about supernatural abilities. Then Moshe Rabbeinu in this parasha, Parshas Bo, was telling him that you have supernatural. Say the same thing with Acher as well. How do we tap into those koyfas? How do we tap into it? Yisholim says that we tap into those koyfas with an emunah, with a knowledge that that once a Jew, always a Jew. The love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us is even greater love than we have for ourselves, which is very difficult to imagine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the relationship. And because he wants the relationship, he gave us the koyches. That's the emunah that we need to have. A Jew needs to live with the realization that we have supernatural ability. We need to know that we have supernatural abilities, not easy to tap into, But when we need to, in a time of desperation, in a time when we're alone, in a time when we simply don't have a choice, we can do incredible things. Reb Noach Weinberg, Zatzal, once told a story, he just remembered it now, he just once told the story of a person he knows who had who was a nursing home owner, nursing old age homes, I used to refer to nursing homes in England. So it was a nursing home, it was a skilled nursing facility, and he was a firm guy, and he had a patient who was Jewish. The nursing home was not a Jewish nursing home, therefore the kitchens were not kosher. But for kosher residents, he would bring kosher food. And there was one woman who came in, he found out that she was Jewish. And he said, she said, I want food like everyone else. He said, no, I'm going to give you kosher food. So she said, no, I want food like everybody else. I want from the Trafer kitchen. So he didn't know what he was going to do because he couldn't give her trace. And they were going to close him down if he wasn't going to give her the type of meals that she wanted. What was he going to do? So he told her enough that I sat there and I convinced her she had to have kosher. And there was nothing better than kosher. She stuck a kosher. So Noach said to him, what's the secret? This is my job. If you just give me the secret, you know, that my job so much easier, convincing Yidden that it's kedai to be a frumah Yidden. What did you do? How did you do it? He says, Rabbi, you don't understand. They were going to shut me down. I had to do it. I had to do it. So I did it. That's Mama Sharon Kudu. That we possess the ability. It's an emunah. We need to know that no matter how far we have fallen, and how bad we're feeling about ourselves, thinking that there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dying for a relationship with us. It is the most sinister and destructive thought to think that I do not have value. Says in the Siva Shalom, the way that we tap into these crises is knowing that I do have value. Reb Meilich Biederman, once heard, I heard one of the videos of Shmuzin that he gave a couple of years ago. He told a story about a Rebbe in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that is dealing with Bachrim, Israeli Bachrim that are struggling with their Yiddishkeit. And he was trying to convince him of this point, that you have value. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. And no matter what you have done and how far you have sunken, does not make a difference because you have value. And he pulled out a $100 bill. The largest bill in the United States of America. He pulled it out and he looked at his 20 bachrim and he said, who wants the $100 bill? And they all said, I do. He said, great. Scrunched it up, he threw it on the floor. He says, now who wants it? They all said, it's fine. He said, watch this. And he stood on it with his muddy boot. And he said, picks it up and he says, who wants it now? Everybody said, I want it now. And he takes it and he puts it into water and it's muddy and it's dirty. And he lets it dry a little bit, and it's all crinkly, and says, who wants it now? And everybody said, I want it now. We are diamonds, Rabbi Isai. We are much more than $100 gold. It does not make a difference how muddy we are. It doesn't make a difference what kind of caked on the disgust and filter on us, how crumpled we are. We are still at least $100 bill. We're a diamond in the rough constantly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that relationship with us. That's what a Jew needs to know. Our Avodas Hashem starts off with we have to have confidence in ourselves. We need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We need to know that we can do it and we possess the ability to do it. But you think to yourself, just like in the physical world, also in the Ruchniyistic world, it's difficult to tap into those koyches. Yeah, it's difficult to tap into those koyches. No question about it, but you can do it. Whether you're riding on a bike and figure that you can go from 10 miles an hour to 16 miles an hour all of a sudden, you can do it. And I want to tell you, we even push the speedometer eventually a little bit further than that as well. Right? It can happen. You're capable of a tremendous thing. A small Kabbalah of not the entire week, today, from the beginning of Shacharis to the end of Shacharis. Well, we'll do that tomorrow, right? I'm not going to talk to my son. I'm not present company excluded, obviously. I have to show and associate anybody. But small Kabbalah today. And the next day, you take on another Kabbalah. You have it within you. Not going to talk during Davi. Forget about it. I'm not going to talk during Davi. I'm not even going to daven during Kaddish. Whatever the Nisayon that we have, in the frum. Now, we're not in Chassar Shalom talking about kasheris in Chil Shabbos. We're talking about in our day-to-day thing. Davening becomes so regular and easy, we forget about it. I once had a, I have a friend from
Cleveland.
So I'm sure you know that they have that, I don't know, there's that balabatisha type with like a very sharper sense of humor. And he once said to me, I don't understand. So by frum Eden, everybody's talking during Chazar Sashas. You walk into a Balchuva, BT show, everybody's quiet. He said, he said to me, we're friendly with God. You know, God knows me. I've known him for a long time already. He's all right. He talks to me, oh, forgive me. Amo, Yiro, that's what we have to like reinstill within us again. So, last point. There is one of these spheres that we have every day. We're commanded on Tiskar, Tim Teskal, the earth, the time, Kol Yimei Chayecho. Kol Yimei Chayecho. So as we say in the Haggadah, Kol Yimei Chayecho, Chazal Darshan, Kol Yimei Chayecho, Afilu, the Rabbi Taleloi, also at night. Not only do we have to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim during the day, we have to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night. Chazal say Leloi is a time of difficulty. Leloi is when it's dark, when we don't see the Yad Hashem, when we don't see the miracles, bigolui, revealed miracles, when we're feeling removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're feeling low, when we're feeling despondent, when we're feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a relationship. You have to remember Mitzrayim then as well. What are you remembering about Mitzrayim? You're remembering that no matter where you are, no matter how far you have fallen, you have the ability to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each and every day we have to remember, it's this Nekuda, the Rabbi's Halelos, even at night, even when it's difficult, even when it's fair, there as well. We must remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with us, and we possess the ability to accomplish that. Thank you very much.
A whole world of content awaits you on Kol HaLashon, United Kingdom, 0208-191-7000, United States, 646-663-7920, Israel, 03-617-1095.